So this past weekend, I was at a conference and NFTs was the buzz. Everybody was running around talking about NFTs, and there was a lot of artists there, not the traditional artists you think. I'm talking about comedians, dancers, and they were saying, I wonder if there's a space for me to create my own kind of media and do it in the NFT space. But there was a lot of confusion about it. I'm not a traditional artist. How can I bring what I have and bring it to the NFT world?
Look, are you interested in investing or collecting NFTs, but are overwhelmed with all the information? Heather and I, we're true NFT newbies. We're going to break it down as we're learning, as we wander unafraid into the world of digital art.
Listen, y'all, we're going to cure you of your FOMO, mildly educate you, and give our unqualified opinions, and hopefully have a lot of laughs along the way.
Hey, everyone, welcome back. We're here with Bennett. I know Bennett, and we know Bennett through Andy, and I'm in a little WhatsApp community with Bennett where I just get blown away by how advanced some of the conversations are, and that's why, Bennett, that's why you never see me say anything except, like, a thumbs up. but anyway, Bennett knows his stuff, and you're not new to the game. You have a lot of different kind of, I would say, financial investments going on, but this has become overtaken a lot, and it seems to have been very, very beneficial. So Heather's onto something, though. There's different use cases for NFTs, and I know this is for newbies, but this is important information in case you are a person who teaches yoga, and maybe you want to explore what the hell an NFT could possibly do with yoga. But Bennett, thanks for being here. And actually, what's your Twitter handle so we can get that out of the way right now?
Yeah, sure. Twitter handle is _BENXIT_.
Perfect. All right. So decentralized media. Did Heather, was she onto something, or what are we talking about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll try to keep it, try to keep it brief, because the use cases for decentralized media are kind of endless. But I'll just start by saying that I think filmmakers, photographers, choreographers, I mean, really anybody who's creating art, like you said, artwork, the NFT space has been so focused on, like, visual artists, people who make illustrations and things like that, which I think is, it makes sense that it's been the focus on that because it's easy to understand, it's simple. But there is this whole other side to it that has to do with distributed IP ownership in media. So, for example, you could create an animated series, a movie, things like that, and allow for distributed ownership of the intellectual property in those things across many people. And there's different ways you can do that. You could do it as sort of a DAO structure, like the Jenkins Valet have done, where this is a Bored Ape. I'm sure you guys have covered the Bored Ape Yacht Club at some point. So your listeners,
I mean,
you haven't.
No, like
most people, anybody, if you've heard of NFTs, you've probably seen somewhere the Bored Apes.
Yes,
and they created this. They're writing a whole narrative in written format. So think like a novel, the storyline is decided by the people who buy into the project. So if you have one of their keys, then you get to vote on the direction that the story goes next. And they've got, like, a best-selling author actually doing the main writing, but the whole community gets to get together and guide the direction of the story. So you're kind of part of it, right? Another example would be the Deadheads animated series. This is like a, I guess I would say, like, Halloween-themed type collection. So there's skeletons and ghosts. These are the characters in the show, right? So if you watch an episode on YouTube, you see the different characters walking around doing the things they do in the episodes. And I find it to be a really good example of showing new people what is an NFT, what can it do, because you can just show someone an episode of that and say, see all these characters, each one of those are owned by regular people.
Wow.
So instead of just being one entity that owns everything that has to do with the show, the way that, like, Disney now owns The Simpsons, for example, when they bought that division of Fox, they own everything about The Simpsons. So, and obviously The Simpsons is huge. Mm-hmm. Just imagine this is a one that's starting, and there, I'm sure, will be plenty of these where the overarching intellectual property, the trademark of the name, the writing of the show, stuff like that, is owned by the main entity that created it. But each individual character the intellectual property for that character is owned by just a person, whoever bought that NFT. So I'll stop there.
I want to ask one question. I know Heather. I love getting blown away like this.
Every episode. If
South Park, let's say Deadheads, and let's just replace Deadheads with South Park. And I had a Kenny NFT. Like, yeah. I'd be like, you guys voted to Kenny to die again? And then, you know, and I'd be like, that's actually awesome. I love it. But like, I actually have input. Like, Kenny's my dude. And I watch him on a regular basis. And all the input for the creative direction is getting put in by the community as a whole of the owners of these NFTs. Is that, do I have that right?
Yeah. And all the voice acting is done by the community. The writing to some degree is, there was, you know, a process to select who should be the writer. It's not just anybody can throw out an idea out there. But on top of that, you could, for example, in the example you gave, you could make Kenny toys and sell them. That's yours.
That's
You'd have to have some kind of arrangement with, you know, Trey and Matt, the South Park creators, again, just going on your analogy, to say, I want to put the South Park name on the box of the toy, then they're going to want a royalty for that or whatever. If you're using their IP, which in this case is the trademark. And similarly, if they want to put your character in the show, they have to either get your permission or pay you a royalty or whatever, because so there's a whole casting call process and everything like that.
Hey everyone, if you didn't know already, our sponsor, who we love, is Based Fish Mafia. You can check them out at basedfishmafia.com. You can learn all about the different species of fish and all the mafia attire and all the different types of free, I'm looking at it right now, all the different types of freaking crazy fish with laser eyes and sunglasses and robes and chains and guns. I mean, like, this thing is ridiculous. It's amazing. And I love them. They are very community-based, which is why we want you to get to know them. If you're reluctant about even looking at buying an NFT in general, you could actually get into their Discord. We'll put the link in the show notes. So that way you kind of just get familiar and be like, okay, this is what it's like. Now look, Heather and I have warned you before, Discord is crazy. You might find yourself in there for hours, but look, this is how it's supposed to be done. You can learn a little bit, and then maybe you start off with a small investment. They have such an affordable floor. Look, we're absolutely big supporters, not just because they're our sponsors, but because they're doing it right. Let's get back to the show.
Can you explain, you know, like I mentioned at the top, was these artists were coming, these creatives, let me put it that way, were coming up to me at this conference and saying, like, you know, I'm a musician, right? Like, I'm a dancer. Can you kind of just expand, like, our awareness of what it would look like for a creative like that? Like, I know there's like musical NFTs. What does that actually look like? If you're a dancer or a comedian, like, expand our minds a little bit about, like, what are some of these other types of creatives and artists? How are they tactically taking advantage of this?
Yeah, so I'll start with musicians first. I know of a few different musicians who are recording new songs, and then they are selling fractional ownership of the masters of those songs as NFTs, so that the royalties are distributed to the people who bought the fractional ownership of those masters.
That's insane.
And with that, there's a little bit of speculation happening, right? So if you like an artist, and it's a way to invest in the people you believe in. I think of it that way. Let's say you were able to have bought even a fraction of ownership of, like, Lose Yourself from Eminem, you know, or something earlier.
My husband would lose his mind.
Right.
That's his jam, dude.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people love Eminem, right? So, I mean, imagine when he was, even when he was brand new, and if he was out there putting out songs and trying to make a living. So for the artist, it's beneficial, because instead of having to strike some big record deal or hope you get millions of streams on Spotify or something like that, you can just get a handful of believers who are, instead of, you know, again, trying to get some big $100,000, million contract, whatever, you could get like $100 from 1,000 people who want to own a piece of that track, of that, the master for that track. They didn't pay too much. It's not a huge risk for the investors, the buyers. But it's a huge benefit to the artist, and they can continue to create. And if one of those songs goes big, everybody wins, because the artists still retain some ownership. They could keep half, you know, or something like that.
The creative control, and that's the other thing, like, you don't have, that's really interesting, because in that example specifically, you wouldn't have a record label telling you, like, you need to have another album out by here, or we're going to scratch this track or anything. Like, you maintaining complete creative control. despite people having ownership of some of your previous work.
Right. Like the Jenkins Valley thing, example I gave, it's just kind of fun for the people who have the NFTs to be able to contribute to what the story is, but you don't have to do it that way. It's completely up to the creator how they want to do it. You know, in some cases you actually do own a piece of the IP, like in the music example I gave. In other cases, you don't technically own anything, but you're kind of part of it. It's just fun to be able to have input on it or get inside information or get like early invitations to events they do, or, you know, things like that. Another great example is the rock band Avenged Sevenfold. You guys know them? Yep. You listen to them? They're releasing an NFT really soon. Actually, it's this month. That allows people all kinds of access, including there's, I don't know what the supply is on them, but a few people will get lucky and will score the NFT that gets them tickets to show their shows for life.
Whoa.
You know, and things like that, right? So it's just kind of a lottery a little bit, but everybody who buys one is going to get value in terms of like unique things that they'll provide to people. But they don't, in that case, they're not going to own any of their music or anything like that. So the creators have control over what the NFTs will do, and they can add value to it at any time. So in the future, if Avenged Sevenfold wanted to say, by the way, we didn't say this before you bought an NFT, but for those who did, early believers, we're dropping this special album. We're gonna press a vinyl on this special kind of vinyl edition. And we're just going to send it to you. And then suddenly it's like, wow, new value created instantly.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely up to them.
I was wondering, like, okay, let's say this young man that I met at this conference, he's a dancer and he really wants to do something within the NFT space, but super new, like newbie, really overwhelmed with it. I would feel confident to say that he could probably reach out to people who are dancers who've created NFTs and just directly ask or follow their work to learn. And this is a pretty open community and they're pretty welcoming. Do you have any other maybe tips or advice for somebody who literally knows there's an opportunity here, but maybe doesn't understand tactically how to go about it?
Yeah, with the dancer, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure how dancing would work in yet, but I do believe that every art form has a place for it. I would say with that, it's probably going to be a lot like how photography NFTs are working, which is you have to find people who want to buy it because it's art. Mm. Not because you get fractional ownership or, you know, some kind of special rights. It's just people enjoy buying art because it's beautiful, you know, and digital art is really no different. It's just getting people to make that mindset shift to digital art is still art, right? Yeah. Because I do own it. The blockchain confirms that I own it. It did come from that person. And then they could do things like, you know, I'm going to be part of this big event or I'm performing at this place. And you can have special access to that event because you have one of my NFTs. They could do stuff like that. But I would think that for a lot of artists, the primary play is just collect my art because it speaks to you. You know, there's some kind of emotional connection.
Yeah, this is so interesting as we're talking here. And I'm thinking, you know, the photography example, the music example, there's not a lot of cases. And I mean, sorry, we're older people, but like, let's just say I bought a CD however long ago, get the CD, I'd listen to the CD, and that'd pretty much be the end of it. And maybe I had the little booklet and I get to read the lyrics, and that's cool.
Oh, but man. Throwback.
In this, I could buy whatever it is from this specific artist, but the lifetime value can have so many shapes and sizes and just continue to increase, as obviously we've seen with, you know, VFriends and what that means, you know, conference attendees or Zoom calls or whatever. But that's different. I think this is just going to influence purchasing decisions on a whole different level. Bennett, we have a commitment to 15 minutes or less to our people. So we're going to wrap, but have you right back on for something else. But we have these questions that we ask from this random pod deck. Random question that we ask you, you have no idea what it is, and we're going to put you on the spot. So was there something you asked for repeatedly as a child, but you were always told no?
Yes. That would have been Power Wheels. Remember the little car you drive around in your backyard or whatever? I always wanted one of those. Yep. And my parents are always like, it's too
expensive. I never got one either.
My shit was manual too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All three of us
we got my kids one.
Nice. Yes. And then where can what are you working on right now? I know you got some deep ties in places. What are you working on, and where can people learn more about that project?
So yeah, actually ties into what we've been talking about. The biggest thing I'm working on is Deadheads. And so the Deadheads have an animated series, but because the IP is owned in a distributed fashion, I own a bunch of them, and I'm creating a comic book series with my own trademarked name. I've trademarked a name for one of the characters, and he's going to have his own comic book series. So it'll be a spinoff. It's essentially the first spinoff coming from Deadheads.
That's cool.
So Better Call Saul, so, except in comic book fashion.
Well, actually, his name is Sal. So Sal Bones is the brand name, but it's the characters from Deadheads, but it's not Deadheads because I own the IP to the character, not the show or not the name itself. I created a name for him, trademarking it, and working with this NFT comic book company to put out a comic, hopefully early next year.
That's Congratulations. Decentralized media, y'all.